You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids,
look up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance off, bro. Me and you.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there. This is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my beer bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is gonna be worth a few bucks.
And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic box.
Right on.
That's below average.
Halt! Smash!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. I am one of your hosts, Martin Bruda, and with me here today are...
Chris Ellis.
Dan Collins.
And Tony White.
Totally unrehearsed.
Absolutely.
And it worked.
And it worked. We just assumed that, alphabetical, right?
Did you see the panic on my face?
Uh-oh. How are you boys today?
Pretty good.
Doing good. Doing good.
As always, since Chris is here, I gotta taunt him with
nice Ghost Rider.
I got my 3¾ Ghost Rider on his dirt bike, his flaming bike, Cheeto bike.
Okay, so that popped up last week when you drove it past the screen, but you never said anything about it aside from there goes Ghost Rider across the screen.
These are the,
so
the
what's the story behind Ghost Rider?
Well, these are the Marvel Retro 3¾.
Oh, okay.
I got a basket of them here somewhere, but they happen to release a Ghost Rider.
Nice.
But they bundled them with a bike, and this is like the first time they had like a vehicle. Mm-hmm. And I guess there's a wind-up toy or something like that that was released in the 70s that has Ghost Rider on a bright red motorcycle.
Really?
That's kind of where they got inspiration for this.
Nice.
So it's like one of those Azrak Hamway rack toy type things, you know, the inexpensive things you see at like grocery stores and stuff back in the 70s.
Yeah.
So this is their homage to it. It came in the other day.
Where did you find that? eBay?
No, this was pre-ordered from Hasbro Pulse, I think.
Okay.
But here in Canada at Dollarama, they're currently blowing out some of these figures for $5 each. I was in Dollarama and I saw
but I haven't actually seen the figures. Some guy bought like 10 Venoms.
Yeah, I saw Venom, the Falcon, brown suited Wolverine, and Mr. Fantastic at the one by Gilpin's
okay.
Gilpin's Dollarama.
I may have to swing by there tomorrow.
Yeah, $5 each.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen them at any of the other ones yet, but somebody posted that they're at the mall.
Okay.
So, but I think since that was the first one posted, all the Dollarama toy geeks kind of ran there, and I don't know if there's going to be any left, but
there'd probably be lots of the Falcon.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess some of them are getting blown out, but I've got every, dear Lord, excuse me. I have every single one of them that's been released so far, and it's a whole basket full.
Oh, yeah.
I can go fetch if you guys want to chat for a few seconds. But yeah, and it's just, you know, Star Wars action figure type articulation.
Yeah, basic, fancy, basic.
Basic, basic. But, I mean, they were $22 or something like that. Toys R Us or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a little expensive for just a inexpensive, cheap little piece of plastic. But
nothing is inexpensive anymore.
They're well done. They're fun. They're cool.
I had a mail call this week.
What you get?
Ooh. Going the wrong way for the camera. Can you see?
Jonah Hex, first appearance? Or no. Is that number one? Number one.
Yeah, CGC 8.0.
Nice.
Not as cool as Martin's 9.0, I think. Yours is 9.0, right?
I think so. I'm not sure.
But I got it for $57.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty good.
You can't complain.
It's kind of hard for to be like, man, some guy paid to have that. It's got to cost more than that to send it away.
Especially from Canada. Like, yeah. Holy moly. You pay the shipping there. CGC charges you their shipping back from Florida. So right there, that's minimum. Like it's $28 or something like that to ship something. Just basic.
Yeah.
So you, right there, you're almost $60 Canadian just in shipping there and back before you even get into the grading fees, before you even bought the darn thing.
Yeah.
So I was at the Wildstar convention here in Peterborough this weekend.
How'd that go? Martin, did
it
you
was
go?
Good.
No.
I only managed to drag the kids out, and we got there at like 2:45 and it ends at 3. You know what it's like. And we're looking around, and there was a guy selling comics, and he had some Charlton slabs that he was selling for $20 to $40. Nothing
really?
Like high grade or anything, but just like really random stuff. And I was like, how did he even, is he not losing money on these? Like, I don't know. I immediately thought of you, Marty.
Like, oh, I would have bought a bunch. No, I fell a little ill last week, and between, you know, not getting anything ready to sell at my table to feeling like absolute dog's breakfast the day before, I phoned up Dave and I was just like I'm not failing any COVID tests. It's not COVID, but I feel absolutely horrible. So he just said, no worries, don't worry about it. And he's just going to transfer my fee to the table for the Peterborough Con in the fall.
That's really nice.
Yeah. I was completely expecting him to say, you know, oh, okay, get Sorry, better. Man. And that was it.
Yeah.
You know, less than 24 hours notice. That's on me. But yeah. He said, no worries, and just transferred my ticket to the other day, but I was so not ready. Like, I just don't have anything priced. I got a stack of treasuries here I was going to bag and price gun, and they're not ready. And half my stuff's at the storage locker. And it's a great storage locker, but it's got horrible hours. It's closed on Sundays. It's only open till 2 on Saturdays. And I can't remember where it's 4:30 or 5 during the week that it closes.
You can't access it outside those hours.
Yeah, because it's an inside warehouse. So it's environmentally controlled, and it's clean, it's dry, it's tidy. It's not too dry. Like, it's a great facility. It just has really bad hours.
Yeah, that's no fun.
I usually take a day off from work and go play in the storage locker.
Yeah, we have one of those here, but I don't know what the hours are on. I never thought of them being limited. But yeah, it's a big building. It's really beautiful looking for a storage place, but I never really considered that the hours would be limited. Yeah,
now, the ones that aren't climate controlled that you just access by pulling up, like you see in Storage Wars all the time. Yeah, I mean, they're open all hours of the day. You can just pull in, but you know, it's comic books, you don't want them to get damp. So
yeah,
at one point in time, this storage locker was storing at least 4 of the nicest comic collections in Peterborough.
Oh yeah,
yeah, there was a lot of books in there for a while.
Takes notes.
There's some decent comic books in there.
So if this is ever comes back to you to be used against me, I am like literally 19 hours away from Peterborough.
you have sufficient alibi.
Some place that gets broken into, and like, yeah, no, it's Tony. He was talking about it. No, I'm a 19 hour drive. It is literally not worth the time and the gas for me to go there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You might be surprised in the long run.
Maybe it is worth it, but
yeah, you know, who knows?
I'm really lazy.
I've got a folding table in there, like a 8.5 by 8 foot table. Set it up, put all my stuff on top. I got 2 bar stools. I got a lounging chair in there. I usually go in with like a portable Bluetooth radio and stuff, get down there in the morning and start sorting. And of course, as soon as you start sorting, you find new and interesting stuff that was in your collection that you didn't realize, and doubles, and you end up spending 2 hours reading instead of sorting.
That's because you have a comfy chair.
Yeah, exactly. Next thing you know, the ladies are coming by. Hey, Marty, we're going to get some lunch. Do you want something from Timmy's? I'm like, it's noon already? Yes, yes, lunch would be good. Thank you. That's good. Yeah, I don't want to rub it in too much, Chris, but a 9.4.
Oh, 9.4. There you go. And yours was really cheap too, right?
I think so. Yeah. I think somewhere in here in the stats. Oh, I don't know.
So I think for the show there in the fall, I'm going to have to take 2 tables, I think. It's going to take me that long to price everything out. I got 20 long boxes.
Yeah.
You're going to need more than 2 tables. to 20 long boxes. That's, I mean, once you set them side by side, that's,
yeah.
Yeah, that's at least two tables.
Yeah.
You won't have room for anything else.
No, it's, yeah, I have a lot of books. And that still leaves me with a very healthy collection on the end of two. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Let's talk to David. I'll get a second table and we'll
team up, do book, four tables across.
Yeah, book a whole half of the place. And
because I got some toys I'd like to take in too. I got some old Transformers and stuff like that I'm going to bring in.
Yeah. I doubled my table space at the last show, and the next one's in April. So I had had an 8-foot table the last two times, but then they gave me the 2 8-foot tables, and I was suddenly spoiled, and they sold me on the second one.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it anyways. We'll see. I've got lots to put there, but as I whittle down my collection, and if I'm not buying more, might be down to like, they're reasonable. So like 2 weeks ago, episode 203, we were talking about Swamp Thing and Alan Moore, and I was going to open the show just, you know, reading my Alan Moore writing for comics book in front of Marty, just, but I can't find it. I don't know what happened to it. It's like Marty came in here, took it, torched it, you know, did vile things to this poor Alan Moore's writing for comics book, but I cannot find it. I know where it was on my shelf, but it is simply not there. And I'm wondering, there was an e-transfer into my joint account with my wife, and I'm wondering if Marty might have sent her some money to
make it disappear.
The best part is you're blaming me when it was actually Alan Moore himself going into people's collections, taking his book back because you are all mentally deficient and emotionally unstable and not worthy of having it.
I thought it would just be funny because of the back and forth and whatnot. I was just going to open it up with, you know, have this up against my camera. But I couldn't find the thing, and now it's kind of sketchy that I can't find it.
He's quite the gentleman, that Alan Moore guy.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, we had quite the rant. Well, it wasn't really a rant, but it was a rant. And discussion regarding Alan Moore and Swamp Thing, and I thought, I was just listening to it fresh this week from episode 203, and it just struck me as that would be hilarious to do, but...
Yeah, he's, you know, without getting back into the rant.
I didn't mean to rev you up.
He just has some ideas and some attitudes lately. And, you know, he's just, I don't know. It's just too much sour grapes for me. You know, like he really was an incredible writer. And some of his work is just going to forever be at the top 10 list of people's, you know, books. Like you always, like you said, that Swamp Thing run, you know, it changed significantly once he took over, and it became, you know, one of the top 10, top 100 DC comics of all time type stuff. But then he just got so bitter. I don't know.
Whatever. Most of his stuff is much lauded, really. I mean, it's great stuff, and it's rightfully so spoken highly of. But yeah, he's been sullying his own, like, really, he's doing harm to himself.
Like
not to his stories, but to his own legacy, really.
Like he's pooping on comic book fans of my vintage, of my era, of my age.
For
liking superhero books that were originally meant to, you know, titillate and interest 8-year-olds, and he calls that, you know, emotionally substandard or whatever phrase he used, and mentally retarded or whatever term he used to say that we're emotionally stunted because we like things that 8-year-olds did, and yet we're the ones that are buying and understanding Watchmen. 8-year-olds are not reading Watchmen.
Well, I was just going to say that. The Watchmen was not written for an 8-year-old, and if it was, then he's quite perverted on what he should be writing for 8-year-olds.
Yeah, in fairness, his stuff was teen plus.
How much of his writing was aimed towards that 8 to 10-year-old? So, in theory, he was part of the problem that he's currently crusading against. You know, and I just don't like that kind of. You can have an opinion, but don't contradict your own opinion with your other opinion. You know, kind of idea, like, you know, I don't like mushrooms, but boy, do I like that Swish mushroom burger from Wendy's. Okay, Bo, do you like mushrooms or do you not like mushrooms?
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. he's got the problem where he's been, again, like I said, sullying his own reputation, but his stuff is still good. And I think there's very few people who would be so anti Alan Moore because of Alan Moore that they wouldn't pick up his books and still enjoy them. He has the opposite problem of somebody like Scott Adams.
Yeah, he's just cranky. He's not, you know, vile. He's not, you know, like Bill Cosby, like his comedy albums were classic and hilarious and still could offer hours of entertainment, and yet everybody I know that has a record store just put all the Bill Cosby albums on milk crates, put them out on the street and said free. I don't want these things in my store. I don't want to profit from them. I don't want to do, you know, like we're done. And Elmore's just cranky. He's nowhere near that kind of level of craziness. So yeah.
Yet.
Like, out of principle, I joke that I'm never going to buy anything brand new from Alan Moore so that he doesn't see a penny of it. But realistically, he doesn't see a penny of it anyways because he refuses to take any money from the sale of all that stuff. So really, once my Watchmen first print finally falls apart from reading it twice a year, I'm just going to go buy it.
Yeah.
I still don't understand the vagina monster, but other than that, it's a brilliant piece of work. It's a brilliant.
Well, if you were eight, you might understand the vagina monster.
Yes,
I mean there's been a few comic creators that have kind of torpedoed their own worth. I mean, I'm not gonna get out there and start slamming any of them, but I mean, like I did mention Scott Adams, and he's not really comic book; he's cartoonist. I mean, what about what's his name? The guy did Green CG,
Ethan Van Sciver.
Yeah,
Van Sciver. Yeah.
But he's got an audience.
Yeah, he has an audience, and I mean, he's still selling books. He's just not selling.
Like, what is that Cyber Frog that Kickstarter was so incredibly successful because a whole bunch of MAGA people got behind it or something? Or yeah. Whether they're legitimate, you know, I don't know, somebody throwing a comic book Kickstarter, $1,000 extra in tips. I don't know how that, you know, how that works, but.
Yeah, well, it's luck. But even John Byrne had his issues. I don't know. I can't even remember what they were, but
he's another cranky old guy, you know, who shoots himself in the foot by saying silly things sometimes, or, you know, expounding. Well, I guess you just get old. You start ranting.
Hmm.
Yeah. Cause you don't care.
I haven't noticed that ever.
You just stand on your lawn and start going, Hulk 180.
Alan Moore. I see where this is going.
Rob Liefeld can't draw feet. I don't know.
But he can draw pouches, man. He can draw pouches.
I'm just saying he's not alone in actually doing harm to his own career or his own legacy. But
yeah.
But I still enjoy it, and I'll still replace my copies of his works when they start to deteriorate.
It's one of those weird things where, like, Kevin Smith mentioned this a couple of times. He takes time out to chat with the fans, and it's part of the job. It's part of the persona. It's the fans that buy his stuff. It's the fans that put stuff on his table. So he's kind. He's conversational. He probably is sick and tired of people constantly coming up to him in elevators and, like, you know, Ben Affleck, you're the bomb in Phantoms. You know, but he puts up with it because he knows it's part of the job. It's part of the persona. It's part of, you know, the marketing and stuff like this. Other people are like, I'm so famous, I can do anything I want. I could say anything. Where'd everybody go? What happened? I got 3 alimony checks to write. Where did you go? You know, so it's something Americans just don't get. Free speech should not come without, you know, free of responsibility and free of ramifications. Like, I don't believe in cancel culture per se, but, you know, if somebody does something that I don't like and I don't want to give them money anymore, is that canceling or is that just me standing up and saying, nah, I don't like this guy anymore? And if there's 100,000 of us, is that cancel culture? Is it just 100,000 of us that are just done with that?
Yeah, we don't like the way you're behaving. I'm not going to sign you know stuff.
Like, how many times did the Catholic religious mom's group 1,000 moms or something like that.
A million mothers.
They get on a campaign and they say, you know, this and this is not family friendly or whatever, and they get something canceled. That's cancel culture per se, just the same.
Yeah.
You know, it's the market, you know. I just laugh my face off whenever an American is like, you're canceling me. I'm like, no, it's the market, man. It's the free market society. You're offering a product people don't want anymore.
Yeah. Well, they,
whatever reason.
Usually it's because they did something stupid,
you know,
or said something stupid.
And like his in Scott Adams' case, his publicist has dropped him. Well, the publicist has other clients. The publicist has a reputation. Are you bringing in so much money for that publicist that he can risk all the rest of his clients, you know, leaving it? But then some people turn around, like they make it sound like it's some kind of a socialist conspiracy, a leftist conspiracy, that there's, you know, cancel culture headquarters in Baltimore where everybody sits down and has an annual meet, you know, a monthly meeting. And who are we going after today, and organizes all this? No, it's just people being tired, trying to protect their own reputation. You know, you stepped on a minefield over there full of caca. Well, I'm going to be standing over here because I'm wearing nice shoes. I don't want to be over there. Mm-hmm. I don't like you that much.
No, that's fair.
Oh, dead air.
Yeah. It's because Marty ranted again and everyone's scared to say anything.
We're just processing.
Marty's over in that field full of caca. We're standing in this field over here in nice shoes.
In nice shoes. You were saying, Dan?
I was just going to say, I didn't get my invitation to the Baltimore cancel con.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just silly. It's just silly that people really honestly believe that there's an organization and this is a concerted effort to silence the right. And like, shut up. It is not.
I don't think you can say what Scott Adams said and not expect there to be some consequences.
It depends because I listened to the whole thing with context, right? And it could easily be taken as a sarcastic Canadian saying something sarcastically, but he's not a Canadian, so that isn't what it was, you know. And it was very, very poorly said, but the sentiment isn't exactly as bad as it's made out to be sometimes. I mean, it is still a stupid thing to say. But he, like, I don't know. We don't want to get into it too much, but, or do we?
No, we do not. No, I don't think we do.
That's a rabbit hole. I don't think we need to.
It's one of those things where if you listen to the whole thing, you'd be like, oh man, that was dumb. You're stupid. Why would you do that? Why would you say that? But it's not, oh, I can't believe he said that. Oh my goodness. Whereas some of the headlines have portrayed it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, Scott that. Adams advocates, separatism. What are we looking? What's the word we're looking at?
Segregation.
Yeah, he never said the word segregation at once. You know, he never said, he basically just said that you've got a group of people over here. They're very mad and angry in that field. Go stand in that field. That's the gist of what he said. He just said it extremely poorly with, you know, words that are racially charged and maybe I'm being too kind. Maybe I'm assigning to him a little bit more credit than he actually is. Maybe he is a racer. I don't know. I've never met him. Maybe he used polite words for what he really felt. And here I am thinking he used impolite words for saying what he didn't mean. You know, I could be completely wrong.
By all accounts, he's not the most PC person on the planet.
Yeah.
And this is from people I've seen posting about it, and
like that could be the other thing. Him. He could be on let's say an autistic spectrum. You know, I got a daughter who says what's on her mind right away.
As
like she said,
yeah.
She said to the one daughter, like the one daughter had a question, and the older daughter said, "Do you really want me to tell you what I feel about this?" And the other daughter said, "Yes." And boom, both shotgun barrels right to the ego. I'm like, okay, Kate, when you ask somebody, do you really want the real opinion? Chances are they're lying when they say yes.
You know? Yeah, there's a comprehension there and then a lack of tact, like a lack of comprehension of what they're actually
exactly
asking from you and the tact. And my daughter's autistic as well, my oldest one.
So maybe he's got a touch of the tism and he just doesn't socialize well and he uses wrong terms all the time. Or maybe he's got a freaking cloak and a pillowcase with eye holes cut out of it in his closet. I don't know.
I don't actually think he's that extremely.
That's what I mean.
I think it's just, you're right. I think it's dumb stuff, but he's also thinking it. So,
and then of course,
it's in there.
And then, of course, he doubles down, which makes it worse, you know, instead of saying, look, I'm sorry, I misspoke. I didn't mean it that way. I meant it this way. No, he right away goes, oh, I guess the First Amendment's out the window. I'm not allowed to say anything I want. Wow. Well, okay. Then you're just digging deeper, buddy. You're just making it worse.
Welcome to the hole.
Be more Kevin Smith. Be less, I don't know.
Whoever he is
over there, you know.
But Dilbert is such like a mundane comic. Like it's not edgy. It's not super political. It's like, you know, it's almost boring.
It used to speak to my tribe a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I'm thinking a touch of the tism or a bit of the ADHD or something like that. Cause us IT guys, we're all on the spectrum. Like anybody want to jump at me and say that that's not true, I can throw stats at you. Holy crap. Like it's just ADHD is just perfect for programming, investigation, problem solving, you know, hyper focusing on the issue at hand, meeting deadlines at the last minute. This is all stuff we do really well, you know? So his comedy spoke to us. Like I used to get every year, I'd get a Dilbert desk calendar, you know, where it's a different joke every year.
Yeah.
Like ever since I've been IT, what was that? I don't know, 96, 97. I've had one on my desk last 4 or 5 years, 6 years. Just never, I don't know, somebody just figured I don't want them anymore or I didn't read them every day like I used to. So it's like a joke that's been worn out.
Yeah. Is he still making a lot of new gags and
every day? Every day. It's still a syndicated comic strip.
Not anymore. I thought he was
doing a lot of reprints.
Maybe. But I mean
those calendars. I used to get a couple. I've had a couple of them too, and some of the jokes in them rehashed over and over again.
Oh yeah, it's the same joke, just different panels drawn. That's what Chris is saying. You know, it's not as edgy as it used to be and stuff like this. Like it used to be really funny, but you know, heck, the Flintstones used to be super funny. It eventually got canceled.
Yeah.
You know, the Honeymooners used to be really funny. It eventually got canceled.
You know what hasn't gotten canceled ever, though, is The Simpsons.
Simpsons is, but it must be generational because I don't think I've seen a Simpsons episode in 20 years.
I haven't watched in like 10 years.
You know, yeah, and wow. I used to watch religiously, like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing with South Park. I haven't seen it. Last time I watched South Park, it was at 12:30 on a Friday. I don't know if it's still even on that time period.
The last time I watched it, Chef was still there.
I watched the COVID special.
Speaking of cancel.
Chef. Oh, yeah.
It's my chocolate salty balls.
That was okay, but do not insult being a Muslim.
Yeah,
exactly. It was okay to insult Jews, Christians, the Hindus, you name it. Everybody else, but do not insult Muslims. And
I don't know. It is what it is. But
that was...
Like for me, when a stand-up comic stands up on stage, there's an unwritten contract that he's there to say outrageous, silly, stupid things for the sole purpose of making a crowd laugh, not give his own personal opinion.
Yeah.
So when they get out there and they say stupid things and they make dumb jokes like, your mama's so fat. Anybody who said a your mama's so fat joke is not once ever worried about their buddy's mom actually getting emotionally hurt. But it's... You know, we're a more sensitive species than we were 20 years ago. We're more, you know, in touch with each other's feelings and stuff like this. Some of the stuff that used to, you know, like my dad, two Jews walked into a bar, the third one ducked. Yeah, it's not even funny anymore.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Well, speaking of writers who haven't been canceled, I saw that you had a new issue, Dan, of West Coast Canuck. Are you taking that to a convention soon? Is that going to be in Toronto?
No.
Oh, really?
What? Next question. No.
You posted it.
No, I sent it to you guys and said, what do you think of the cover?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was for issue 4, right?
Whoops.
For issue 4. Yep.
Who's drawing that one? The cover?
Eduardo Mello, the same fellow who's drawn the rest, who does some Marvel Snap illustrations, which is super cool. Yeah, I think that's really cool. So yeah, issue 4 has been solicited, but I'm not sure the status of it as far as being complete. Might possibly just be waiting on one last step before it's ready to go out.
Yeah, I must have misread that because I thought it was it's been solicited, but you might have copies at conventions or something.
No, you misread.
I also have to confess.
Sorry for trying to push your book.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Tony. It's an excellent book. I can't wait for everybody to read it. I still feel that this is the best story I've ever written. So, you know, it's a very good redemption story for the Steel Town Hammer, who was a bit of an a-hole character.
A bit.
That I think I made him into a pleasant a-hole from a miserable a-hole.
Well, and, the guy is from Hamilton.
I know, right? Like, helpless.
Caveat, I'm allowed to say that I was born in Hamilton, so.
There goes one of our 6 listeners.
Yeah, there's the other one.
Oh, there's the Hamilton hate.
It's like Poles are allowed to tell Polish jokes. Hamiltonians are allowed to be self-deprecating about Hamilton. I wasn't 100% sure when you posted it. And you said, how do you guys think of the cover? And I'm like,
oh,
is there something wrong with the cover? And he wants us to notice that's wrong and agree with him that there's some sort of problem? Or is he really proud of the cover? So I was like staring at the cover, looking for like, is there a bat wang on here somewhere? Is there something controversial here?
So you didn't know that the Steel Town Hammer had 3 arms. No, it's just I like the cover. I always thought the way that David Semple looks on that cover was good. I saw that cover about 3 years ago, 2 to 3 years ago, and now it's finally, you know, public. Yeah. But
it'll be awesome once the whole series is available to be read all at once.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. That'll be really cool.
Nice.
Is it 4 issues or
4 issues? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Speaking of the Toronto Comic Con, that's next weekend, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, it's the
18,
19.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, 17th, 18th, and 19th. Yeah, 2 weekends from now.
My wife's birthday is the 20th, and it's a Monday, so don't forget that.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Just go to Toronto Comic Con and get her something nice.
I'll probably be heading down on the Friday if you need me to pick anything up for her.
I don't know. Is there anybody even got any stuff out? Like,
is anybody slicing up comic books to make like fake rose petals?
But like Shay, he doesn't have anything out at the show, right? And
I'm beefing with Shay right now.
Uh-oh.
Did you see his comments? He posted a Mountie thing and he said something along the lines of like, you know, the toughest Mountie and he's got like the toughest fists or something. I don't know. I can't quite remember. And he's then in his comment below, he said something like, look out, Captain Canuck. There's another superhero coming for the super limited market of Canadian comic book superheroes. And I said, Shay, why are you doing this to me?
He likes to show
friends.
He likes to throw shade on the Canadian superheroes.
Yeah, he just doesn't think every single Canadian superhero needs a maple leaf on their uniform.
Yeah.
He's drawing a Mountie.
Like not everybody in Marvel walks around with the Captain America's uniform. The guy's got a bit of a point.
Yeah.
But we do like our maple leaves on our heroes.
Yeah. And the maple syrup.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there's a comic cover. I think it's a hardcover, Northern Steel. That's coming out very, very soon. Somebody was posting about that. I'm positive it's on my Amazon pre-order list here.
I don't know. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah.
I'm positive it's sorry, I should usually have all this stuff up and running. Here it is, Northern Steel with an E at the end. Scott Schmidt and Slobodan Yavonovic. In 1897, the world descended upon the frozen hills of the Yukon Territory, mad with gold fever. But little did they know the perils and pitfalls that await. A trail lined with dead horses and stalked by a mad killer, a haunted cave mined by an army of the dead, and an endless swamp teeming with terrible serpents. And even then, there was more. Enter the legendary Sam Steele of the Northwest Mounted Police.
Oh, it's based on the real guy.
Yeah. No, as soon as he started, 1890, whatever, and Steele with an E.
Just like the Heritage commercial.
The cover art looks really good. I mean, it's literally a Mountie sitting there with a revolver, and there's like zombie conquistadors, a Wendigo, serpent straight out of Conan, and some kind of Aztec looking corpse.
Didn't Sam Steele not use a gun? Wasn't that his shtick, that he never used one?
Yeah, his shtick was not to shoot first, but he had his pistol.
To pull it, yeah.
Not
to pull it unless he had to or whatever it was, but yeah.
He was big enough. He just punched in the face.
Apparently, he was quite the
butt kicker.
He was not very nice. he didn't have a soft hand.
Yeah. He's the kind of guy that would pick you up and throw you like 4 feet out the door, high out the door of the saloon.
Yeah, it was his way or out you're getting floored.
Yeah.
But somebody was talking about this book, Outland Entertainment, 80 pages, hardcover, $38.69 on Amazon. Delivers March 8th to the 13th. So soon. So it's about to be released soon.
Good stuff.
I was thinking Sam Steele might make a good series, but
yeah
I guess that's
somebody too late. To it.
You missed
too late now.
Yeah. Well, you can make him a superhero, right?
Sam Steele with no E. Sam Steele with no E.
Or instead of Sergeant Steele, you could make Warrant Officer Second Class Steele. He gets a promotion, gets a desk job, gets moved to Toronto. That's the
Sam Steele Jr.
Shadow. Oh wait, that's
There's lots of ways around.
Isn't that Go South TV show that they made?
Due South.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's a public persona. You can use Sam Steele all day long.
So that should be fun coming soon. I did come across a really cool Kickstarter that I saw the other day.
What's that?
Looked interesting. Who's Legendary Comics? I'm trying to remember who Legendary Comics is.
Legendary?
Is that Brian Peluto?
I don't know. I don't know who does it. They do mostly like horror comics though, don't they?
Yeah, like there's who's attached with Legendary. Anyways, Legendary Comics is coming out with a Frankenstein and Dracula original graphic novels starring Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi. They got the likeness rights.
Oh, nice.
And these look really good. The Frankenstein, I never knew how to pronounce this guy's name. Kerry, K-E-R-R-Y, Gamel. He did Superman for a while in the 80s. He wrote one of them. Richard Starking is doing the lettering. Like, there's a lot of, you know, Legendary Comics. There's a lot of Legendary creators involved in this project. And the art looks really good. So I might end up backing this, even though it's going to cost me $1 million plus shipping.
Nice.
But it looked really interesting.
I just backed the new Jack Grimm.
What?
Issue 11.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. For some reason, I was thinking Grimjack, that 1980s Eclipse. Was it Eclipse Comics?
Oh, I'm not
familiar with first. Really?
Yeah.
Really? You don't know Grimjack?
No.
Has that been published since the 90s?
Probably not, no.
I see it every now and again in collections.
When they're selling like a whole box, it's like in the front.
John Ostrander and Timothy Truman from First Comics.
I don't think I ever tried to read it.
It's one of the first ones that I didn't read. I read a lot of that sort of stuff, and that was one of them that I did not.
Poor John Ostrander. He took money right out of his mouth. Or food right out of his mouth. Money right out of his pocket.
Yeah. Another fellow who said the wrong thing at the wrong time and couldn't use the excuse that he was old and senile.
Does that actually work?
Not lately. But yeah, no, you're talking about Jack Grimm from our buddy Gary Boyarski.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got 23 backers.
Yeah, one of those.
I didn't even know that was live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For issue 11.
It looks like it's almost double, eh? Like over?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he has, I mean, you can start a Kickstarter and you can ask for $10,000 for a comic book because you haven't done anything, or you can be like Gary, who does it all, draw, ink, pencil, write, does it all himself. So he's like, literally, can I get $300 for printing cost?
Yeah.
So that's his goal, $300. So yeah, sure, you know, he's got $798 of Canadian in pledges here. So he's it's happening for sure. But, you know, he's a one-man show. He's probably got it already done.
Oh, yeah.
He just needs to fire it off to the printer. So that's a no-brainer. That's a fun series.
Yeah. He was just posting art. So one of the things that you can do is he will draw you an 11 by 17. And then as like an add-on to the Kickstarter. So he's added that on. But it's I mean, I like it. And again, it's reasonably priced. He doesn't charge you like $1 million for shipping. And, you know, but.
Yeah, like $75 Canadian gets you issues 1 through 11.
Yeah.
Every issue, including the out-of-print issues. Like 11 comics for $75 in a Kickstarter. Can you imagine? Like some of the Kickstarters are like $75 just for one 80-page issue. No, Gary's a good guy, and it's a really fun story. So
yeah,
that was a no-brainer. What is
Speaking of Kickstarters, I got something from a Kickstarter.
Ooh.
I got Aurora Man number 8.
Right on.
Got my Kickstarter for that. And it came with, I went with the whole package thing because I got the mega collection number 1, which is all the mini comics that were released before, and then mega collection volume 2, which is issues 1 through 5, because, you know, once the comics go into my long box, I don't pull them out anymore, but I'll actually read these a few times rather than go into the long box. So got that from Jeff along with a bunch of random swag. So that was exciting.
Yeah, another friend of the show, Jeff Burton.
Yeah, I finally got my Dodge number 3. It must have got lost in the mail or something, so they resent it. So I got it and the retcon graphic novel as was an add-on.
You're wondering if you got that.
That's a weird face.
Marty's really thinking hard.
Did you not get the retcon novel or graphic novel?
Think so. Unfortunately, to be honest with you, there is a
a mess behind you.
I mean, there's the to read box of comics, and then there's the to read box of Kickstarter comics. Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of the magical Mr. Punch from
Punch
from Two Garg Comics, Michael McAdam. another buddy. Then there's like, honestly, I got, you know how in hoarder houses they start piling things vertically?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's like 4 piles of hard covers in front of my surround sound speakers, so when I'm watching TV, record sounds like this. And there's like every dresser, I got 3 dressers in my bedroom, every dresser has a stack of trade paperbacks, and I gotta organize.
Yeah. Yeah,
I need a reading vacation.
Right? You're not wrong.
Well, I finally read through all of my Wolverine books. So I had like issue 1 through 26, I believe. So they went all the way back to 2019 that I hadn't read. So I literally sat down one night and read 26 issues of Wolverine. some of them were, I kind of skimmed through them mostly because they were part of like, what was it, Swords of X or whatever, and then there was another crossover that really didn't make sense because it was only one issue, so I'm like, I don't have any idea what's going on here. So there was a couple issues that I ended up just kind of skimming through, but I finally plowed through that. So really my to read pile is only about 20 books now, and they're all current. So yay on me, finally. Yeah.
Sorry, I was just looking through this Aurora Man one, and I forgot that we had Marty drawn in here. You see that, remember? You were in this getting beat up in one of these panels.
Beat up.
Yeah.
Which book were you the bartender? Was that Oryk?
Yeah, it was an Oryk book. I had dialogue.
You had dialogue, nice.
It's not a cameo.
dialogue. First appearance of Marty in a comic.
Did you ever see your appearance in Northgard?
They haven't released it yet.
Oh my god, that's how little I pay attention to it now.
Northgard season 3.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not out yet.
Yeah, that was done. Good lord, 2018.
That's a show in and amongst itself. The number of people that have asked me to write a book, and I'm like, I'm not the guy to write that book. I'm over here listening. There's a bunch of people that were right here. They're the ones that should write a book.
No. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it was done, and I was looking at it and going back and forth with it, and I decided to turn Marty into a character in the story. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, nice. In the edits, just changed the look of the guy a little bit and gave him some dialogue.
It's silly.
When it finally comes out, look for him. He's playing a chauffeur.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind getting a hold of that. I mean, I would love the Northgard series. The reboot was nice. I'm like, until I met Martin, I didn't really know much about Canadian comics. And we actually met, he had, an ad on, was it like Marketplace or something, for the Captain Canuck summer special. And so he was selling them, so I went up and I bought that, and then before long I was buying the Captain Canuck series from him, and then he's like, oh, you gotta read this, and so then it was like into the Northgard stuff. And yeah, so before I met Martin, Alpha Flight was about as Canadian as I was reading.
I mean, some of those books are really, really good. Like, really, really good. I mean, not like the crap they're putting out today, like Ghost Canuck.
you're just getting it from all angles. Not only are you getting attacked on Facebook, now you're getting attacked on your own radio show.
But there were some really great books.
I'm out of here.
It's a real shame. It's a real shame the direction they've gone. No. It's just a real shame that a lot of it couldn't continue. Like, there was a lot of good material that unfortunately just didn't get tied up or didn't finish, or they didn't move on with it, or sales unfortunately just weren't with the books. Creators move on. There's just a lot of stuff that I've looked at that just, it's sitting there. I've got old pages of stuff that will never see the light of day. And it's just a shame. Really, the shame.
You know, it's part of the challenge of trying to be a Canadian publisher with this behemoth down south, just pumping out content. You know, like I remember walking into one comic shop that shall remain nameless. And I mentioned, you got any of the Chapter House? I wouldn't carry Chapter House. Nobody wants that Canadian crap. And I'm like, you're in Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, the one of the most successful shops in all of Ontario is just a few minutes north of you, and they have Canadian creators all the time as guests. They're constantly pumping out Canadian comics. They have a Canadian comics section. They get Canadian creators to do, store variants from them. Oh, nobody wants that stuff. I'm here in your store asking.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, I just got the impression that if it's not Spider-Man or Avengers, then nobody wants it in his mind. I think he wouldn't even take a chance on a Blue Beetle book from DC. It's just, anyways, whatever.
In fairness, I hate that mentality, but in fairness, shucking comics in a brick and mortar store is a hard business.
It is a hard business for sure, but almost every single brick and mortar store is pre-orders, right? That's mm-hmm. what they're getting. If a customer comes in and asks for a Captain Canuck comic book, and your first words out of your mouth is, I don't have any in the store, but if you like, we can go through the back catalog and see if I can get some in, or I can add it to your pull list.
That is an excellent comic store owner. And I've run across a few of them when I've gone in and asked if they had copies of specific books that I wanted to see on a shelf because
exactly.
And I get the, oh no, but we did, and we can reorder it. Is usually the answer.
Exactly.
you know? Have somebody answer like that, that, yeah, I get it. That's
no, I didn't walk into the store and go, how come you don't have 12 copies of Captain Kirk number one on the show?
Yeah, because,
you know, to which they were, you know, the reply back, oh, I wouldn't carry that crap, could be, you know, but yeah. I came in nice asking. And got attitude right away. Like immediately, I was just like, "Wow, you know, dude,
yeah.
No wonder you're stereotypical crusty old white guy behind the counter of a comic shop that looks like a bomb went off in it with nothing organized and stuff sitting on top of long boxes."
But I went to a comic shop in Orlando, and they had a copy of Pitiful Human Lizard on the shelf.
Yep,
in Orlando.
I've been told that Pitiful Human Lizard is, you know, one of the better selling titles in the U.S. for what Chapter House was putting out. So
there was a strong following. Jason had a strong following.
It was a really cool book, but it was kind of like a Spider-Man type character where he's actually reasonably relatable. Like he wasn't like so overpowered that it didn't make sense. And, you know, he was just a regular guy who had superpowers, right? Like, so at the end of the day, he was still trying to pay his bills and live life. And so, I mean, that appeals to people almost as much as like the billionaire, like Tony Stark, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't have a maple leaf on him, so I really didn't connect with the character.
I couldn't tell if he was Canadian or not. So,
so I mean, I just didn't know. Obviously, have every issue. Actually, I think I have duplicates of it because Jamie has the entire run, and that's hers because she really, really loves it. And I have copies because I enjoy it. But you know, I just felt like I should have every copy of everything that was out. So, you know,
Do you guys feel this enormous amount of pride as you see what Jason's doing to be like, yeah, yes, man, we've known this guy since the beginning and supported him. And it's so great to see how successful he is.
He deserves
it's so it. Amazing. Absolutely. Fantastic. Fantastic guy. Right. First off.
Yeah.
An amazing illustrator. Amazing writer.
Yeah. No,
amazing. I'm so happy for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I mean, he put in the work.
Yeah, he put in the work. Absolutely. He went for it too, right?
He's at shows. He's, you know, he's friendly. He's out there. He's outgoing. He's doing the Kevin Smith thing. He's, you know, talking to the audience like very quickly. Hey, Marty, how you doing?
Every time I haven't seen him for a year, right? He's like on it. I'm like, you know? How do you even remember my name? Like, that was impressive. Like, I hadn't seen him in 2 years. He's like, Chris, how's it going, man?
Like, he did the hustle. He knew how to get the clients, the customers, the base. He's always at shows. It, you know, and his work was fantastic.
Yes.
Yep.
So.
And he's one of those guys that did it all. Like, he really did. He could do every bit of that comic all on his own.
He's the kind of guy.
I remember.
Sorry, go ahead.
The first Witcaf that we did, Marty, when you and Sam were there for the show and I was there doing my comics and Jason was next to me and I spent the whole time just like listening to him talking to people and just going like, I can't believe I'm sitting next to Jason at a convention. Like I was just like in cloud nine. It was amazing.
He's the kind of guy that I would have been surprised if he didn't break into one of the big two or have a, you know, his own books at Dark Horse and stuff like this. I'd be surprised if he didn't.
Yeah.
You know, he just did the work. He's talented and he put himself out there and he did the marketing. He did the networking. He did the, you know, the self promotion and like what was the car racing
Afterlift
to the the devil
and Comixology.
That was Chip Zdarsky, wasn't he? Who wrote it?
Yeah, Chip Zdarsky.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that he made that connection with Chip at a show.
Yeah.
You know, or somebody that he knows that also knows Chip said, hey, there's this Jason guy who's doing some great work. Like that was a marketing, like networking type thing. I guarantee you he didn't like blindly submit a submission to Dark Horse and you know, that was something that, you know, he worked to get. So I'm not surprised at all. And his cartoon style is, you know, awesome and approachable and fun. And, you know, his storytelling's great. And I would have been surprised if he didn't make.
Yeah, no, I agree. I liked his writing and his stuff and it was good.
Cause he was dropping some hints that he's getting to do something in particular that what would he say when somebody asks you to write something that you don't think you can handle, but they say, no, you got this or something like this, or whatever the comment was. But yeah, it should be good.
Yeah, it sounds like he's doing something that he's been looking doing for a long time. But
yeah, fair enough.
Far worse.
Yeah. Like, I mean, maybe, you know, as soon as he got to do Jamie Madrox, the multiple man,
his, I think that was cloud nine for him.
That was the first time I ever met him, was he was in that cosplay at a Burlington toy show. And for anybody that hadn't seen it, he dresses up as Jamie Madrox, the multiple man. And then he had like full-size photographs of him in different poses in the same cosplay, taped onto sticks, taped onto his back. So there was like six of them, and they were all like,
yeah, amazing.
And he's walking along with these multiples of him. Oh, it was just hilarious.
Yeah.
That was the first place I met him. But yeah, it was pretty good. Well, gents, that seems to be the time for this week. Even after editing out all the silent moments of quiet reflection as Martin puts his foot in his mouth. Stay tuned. Next week we'll be back, maybe, unless we're canceled. HeyKidsComics.ca. See you guys next week.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take three.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.